It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear Marcus cruising with you in the Top 4 at 4 brought to you by National RX this afternoon. Marcus, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, four-star quarterback prospect Jake Merklinger has committed to Tennessee. Tennessee's offense was one of the more consistent storylines of last season. Well, now they've added another quarterback to the prospect pool. The 6'3", 190-pounder, the fifth-best pocket passer in the 2024 cycle, also considered Georgia, North Carolina, and Michigan State. He threw for 1,987 yards and 32 touchdowns for Calvary Baptist Day School as a junior in 2022.
Just a huge pickup for Josh Heupel and the Vols today. So keep that quarterback mojo going. You got to sign one every year. No, it's they're not. I mean, the chances of both Nico and Merklinger being multi-year starters at Tennessee are not great, I would say. But that's modern college football. You sign the best quarterback you can every single year. And you just hope that you have a good one every season playing. And it's kind of like the same we had the conversation about wide receivers is can't get attached to these guys. Celebrate them when they commit, develop them the best you can, and don't freak out when one hits the transfer portal. But I mean I hope he doesn't. I hope he comes here and Nico plays 2 years, Merklinger backs him up for 2 years and then starts for 2 years after that. That's ideally how this works, but things don't work out ideally most of the time. You just get the best players you can.
At number two, Vols baseball starts their series versus LSU tonight at 8. Game one will be on ESPNU as they play in Baton Rouge.
Are you kidding me?
That's what it says here.
What?
Why would you not have that game on the deuce?
I mean, it is college baseball, Bear. They're not catering to us. The fact that it's on cable at all is a big deal.
Yeah, but we went back and looked last year, and Tennessee pulled some for college baseball. And they pulled
good numbers,
seven figures several
like,
times.
I don't know what's on the other ones tonight, but you've got NBA going on. You've got Major League Baseball happening. Like, those are always going to take precedence over the college games. I mean, this is Thursday night. They moved this to Thursday night so that they could put it on cable television. This is a big deal, man. Let's not downplay it.
At number three, Vols Pro Day is today. Thanks to friend of the show, Adam Sparks, I was able to get some information for you. Unofficial, just going to, as Adam kind of ballparked it, based on the applause, he thought that Cedric Tillman on his 40-yard dash probably had about a 3.87, 3.89 based on...
On his 40-yard dash?
Mm-hmm.
A 4.87.
That's not what Adam wrote.
Marcus, nobody's ever ran a sub 4 second.
I'm just telling you
dash.
What he okay, wrote on that. So maybe he meant 4.86.
Let me see.
But he wrote it twice.
You talking about like a shuttle or something?
Cone drill.
No, it was a 40. I'm reading his tweets. I'm not making this up off the top of my head.
No, you're right.
First of all, don't
you're right.
Voice.
Okay.
Settle down.
Adam messed this up. It's not. He didn't run a 3.89
well,
40.
I'm just.
Okay,
you could have.
There's plenty of blame to go around on this one, Marcus. I'm not going to put it all on you, but I mean, come on. You know, you follow the Titans. You know, nobody's
reading,
ran a 3.89.
I was just reading. I was just reading because
you
said
you read before you open your mouth.
Reading comprehension.
You told me
can be your friend.
Find information. I was finding information.
Oh, it's
while,
my fault.
Hold on.
Factually inaccurate information?
I don't remember
him saying that to you, Marcus.
If Adam Sparks told you to jump off a bridge, would you do it?
Yes, I would. I trust Adam that there'd be plenty of water down there for me to land in.
I did see Austin Price reported that Jalen Hyatt weighed in at 186, which is 10 pounds heavier than he was at the combine. That's a concern with him is keeping weight on.
Well, yeah, I got lost there when you said it was a concern for him. But then you followed it up with keeping weight on. Like, He's going to need to put a little bit more on.
Hyatt did not run the 40.
Don't blame him.
Hendon was throwing despite the fact that he has been reported not throwing.
Well, he's been apparently cleared to throw, right?
Yeah, he's been throwing, not full speed, but yeah, there's pretty good video. He does have a big brace on that left knee. I was telling Bear, I read a piece on The Athletic that Hendon actually wrote. It was one of those combine diaries, so it's a couple of weeks old, but I just saw it yesterday. And he said that he went back to his surgeon for a post-op visit, and the surgeon told him that he had never seen anybody with the quad strength and quad girth. You like the word girth?
I don't know how I want to respond to that.
It's okay. It's like moist. It's weird. It makes it weird. They had never seen that kind of quad strength and girth from a ACL patient so quickly removed from his surgery. So it sounded like he is making a rapid recovery.
You do know who was throwing for the receivers, though, right? Did you see that?
It was the dude from UT Martin, right?
That was what was mentioned in an article, but I saw Josh Dobbs throwing.
Really? Well, didn't Auburn bring back Cam to throw at their pro day? These schools are kind of using it as a recruiting tool now.
Yeah, but Josh has already signed another contract from free agency, so it's not like he's looking to convince pros.
Yeah.
He's got a job lined up. So,
Well, I was making the point that like Auburn is using it. Hey, look, Cam Newton, this superstar, played down here. I'm sure they want him to get another job, too.
And, sure.
And what you're saying is right. Like, Cam's using it as a showcase to say,
for himself,
hey, look, still got it. I still want to play. Still can play. I don't know. Dobbs carries the cachet nationally that Cam
not
does.
Like,
but
yeah. Not like if Peyton were, 16 years younger and the Titans hadn't put a bounty on his head.
And finally, at number four, MLB has kicked off today. Currently, don't know if you want to get ready for this, Russell. The Braves are up 7-2 at the bottom of the ninth.
Hey!
You've got the
Bravos. Max Fried came off with a pulled hammy today, which is nuts.
That's what I heard.
Great news.
No. Top of the seventh, you got the Cubs up 4-0 over the Brewers. You've got Boston Red Sox over Baltimore over 8, or excuse me, other way around. Baltimore's up 8-2. Rays are up 1-0 over the Tigers, and some other team beat the Giants earlier today, 5-0. Don't know who that was, though.
Some other team?
Yeah, some team I've heard about, but I don't.
Beat the Giants. Whatever happened there.
Good to see MLB kicking off. More sports to watch.
I love opening day being opening day again. This is the first time that they've done this where everybody plays on opening day. It's really cool. This is the way it should always be.
Just games from 12 to just midnight.
I love that. Waking up and seeing it's the same people already on social media, already out headed towards the ballpark.
Oh, yeah. But nothing better than going to a good day game.
What a baseball day, man.
Yeah.
Woo. I love it.
It definitely, I've got more interest in it now than I have in a long, long time, mostly due to Tennessee getting good.
Well, I told Tony this a couple of years ago. Combination of the Braves winning the World Series in 2021, the Tennessee baseball resurgence, and my son getting involved in baseball, like I just let baseball go for the better part of 20 years. And it used to be my favorite sport growing up. And I just had stopped paying attention. Now I'm not all in. I'm not going to watch every Braves game like I did growing up.
Who has the time?
Yeah, but it's just so cool to have the great American pastime part of my life again. I love it. Thank you, Marcus. The Top 4 at 4 is brought to you by National RX. All right, folks, tomorrow is the final day of March CBD Madness. People always ask me, Russ, love the show. I want to support. What can we do to support? This is what you can do is patronize our sponsors. Let them know you're listening. This is a great deal they've been offering this month. I know several of you have taken advantage. If you haven't yet, you've got about 24 hours to make the call. You can stop by 11134 Kingston Pike. I'm going to be out there tomorrow, so if you want to come by, say hi and take advantage tomorrow. We'd really appreciate that. As always, you live outside our listening area, just call them up at 865-392-1770. Say, hey, I heard Russ talking about the CBD March Madness special, 25% off. I would like to partake. Can you ship it to me? They'll take your address down, take your information. You can buy it over the phone, and they'll ship it to you that way. If you're driving and didn't catch that number, just remember nationallawrex.com. When you get home, you can find the number there. Call them up and try some of the Ananda Professional CBD products, best CBD products in the known universe. Let's go to the phones. Martin is next on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. What's up, Martin?
Yes, Russell.
Martin.
I'm in the hospital, Russell.
What's wrong?
I got an infection in me.
Oh, buddy, I hate to hear that.
Yeah.
Are they taking care of it?
It's going to show how much I think of your show, sir.
I appreciate that, but I'm more concerned about you. Are they taking good care of you?
I just got some kind of infection in me.
All right, man. Well, I hope they... What hospital are you at?
Fort Sanders.
Okay.
I was a frequent flyer there a few years ago. They take good care of you up there.
Yes. And Russell, I'll ask just one question to let you go.
Okay.
Do you think Jake Merlinger's good enough to beat Nico out? He might be thinking that, mightn't he?
You never know. You never know. And in an ideal scenario, Joe Milton starts every game this year, and we don't have to use Nico too much. And maybe Merklinger comes in if he can get that midterm enrollee status, and then you have a competition between Merklinger and Nico. And obviously Nico would have a huge head start playing this upcoming season. But may the best man win. Heupel will play the best guy. He'll play the guy that gives him the best chance to win.
Yes, and Russell?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask Marcus a question about my Raiders?
Absolutely, Martin. You go right ahead.
Marcus?
Yes, Martin.
Who is John Jenkins, the defensive tackle they picked up, the Raiders picked up as a free agent? How many years did they sign him and for how much money?
Let me see for you. Looks like he had played for the Dolphins beforehand. Looks like he's a bit of a veteran, 9 years, it looks like. 33 years old. Excuse me, 11 seasons. Trying to find the actual contract information. My guess with him being 33, it's probably a short-term deal, 1 year, just as a kind of prove-it deal to make sure that he is still
1 year
in shape. That's what I'm thinking. I don't see the exact notes on it yet. I'm trying to find it for you.
Yes.
Raiders
yes.
PR on Twitter.
All right, then. I appreciate you, boys.
Hey, Martin, hang right there. Bear's going to talk to you off the air real quick. We're praying for you, buddy. Everybody say a prayer for our guy Martin. He's in the hospital with an infection over there at Fort Sanders. Need Martin to get well quickly.
Mm. No, agreed. It's always hard when anyone – has to have deal with. I've dealt with infections before too, and it's not fun.
If it's bad enough, you're getting in the hospital. It's not a good time. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon, if you missed T. Bob Hebert in hour number one, he came in here trying to cut a promo on us, Bear.
Careened
in guns blazing,
yeah,
didn't he?
Like a bull in a china shop.
You confident tonight? I told him that Tony V was going to take Jay Johnson's wife out for a nice dinner after he broke out the broomstick Saturday.
I'm hoping that
I would settle for two wins right now. For being honest, maybe.
Settle. I'd be happy because we'd be able to talk smack that we won the series for the rest of the year. Hell yeah, I'd take two wins right now. His Skeens kid's for real. I mean, he's going to be one of the top draft picks.
He's going to be throwing in the 100s. I mean, there's going to be some shock and awe about it.
It's nothing we haven't seen out of, our lineup and our staff the past couple of years.
Like I said off the top, man, we got to be patient at the plate. This is probably not going to be a 10-run offensive explosion. If it's a shootout, we might be in trouble. We've got to be patient. We've got to make him throw pitches. We've got to fight to draw walks. We got to bunt. We got to scrap, claw, and do whatever we can to get runners on base.
Yeah. Just don't let it get away from you early. They're the number one team in the country. Just keep hanging around.
And Dolly's
He's got to come out with his mind right.
Yeah, we got to get. Well, I'll tell you. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the air, but about the spin rate. So, the word around some of the scouts that follow Tennessee, and Dollander's been roughed up a couple of times in the first inning this year, pretty much all his games.
Right.
Was that his spin rate was way down from last year. And some of the scouts were like, oh, like what's going on? Because I don't think he pitched much in the summer. I think he took time off, which is what you want to see. Like, I think people pitch too much.
Yeah, he gave his arm a rest.
But apparently, even though he did get tagged for the home run in the first inning last Friday against A&M, they said that his spin rate was back to where it was last season, which is huge.
That's an extra bit of snap, right?
That's what you hear the word stuff. That's kind of it. It's like, okay, he throws 97, but –
Does that thing spin?
Yeah. Is it moving? Is it tailing? Is it rising? Is it doing all the stuff that's
doing
it.
The stuff that, you know, creates optical illusions when it's coming out.
Yeah. So is if he can get back to that and he's got his stuff back, I would love to see just a nasty pitcher's duel today between Skeens and Dolander. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I generally love to see high-scoring games and runs and action and stuff like that, but we've got the two best pitchers in college baseball going at each other tonight.
That was why I thought it would have – I didn't expect it to be on ESPN, but the U. So, but it is, like you said, opening day, and it is still college baseball. But
a couple things going on.
Yeah.
Are you a little shocked? Brad Rose brought this up on Twitter. You a little surprised they didn't? He tried to go after Vol for Life, Kevin Nash.
Well, I think
I bet he's kicking himself because I saw he's tagged in that tweet. So I bet T-Bob's kicking himself for missing that opportunity.
I think he conflated Kevin Nash and Razor Ramon. So it was a bold strategy to.
Yeah, he felt bad when he found it. It's only been a year, right out of a year since we lost Scott Hall. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We pause for the cause. Back with more right after this. The docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys, a streaker at Tuesday's Texas A&M baseball game in College Station was arrested on charges of criminal trespass and disorderly conduct and exposure. Streaker turned out to be 19-year-old Texas A&M freshman cross-country athlete Spencer Werner. He was released from jail Wednesday after his $2,800 bail was posted. During the fifth inning, Werner ran out onto the field wearing just compression shorts, gloves, and a Darth Maul mask.
Darth Maul?
Yeah.
That's oddly specific.
Have you seen the video?
No.
Oh, there's video of this. It's great. He's running out there in this Darth Maul mask and, like, bicycle shorts. He comes from the outfield, runs all the way from right field down into the diamond, and he makes a loop and he's running back out towards shortstop, and then he pulls his pants down, and it's just bare ass. It's just
those aren't like the easiest. I mean, they're very compression shorts are tight.
Yeah, I mean, they're
it's not the easiest thing to wriggle out of.
He didn't take them off. He just like pulled them down so his butt's hanging out.
It was a mooning.
Yeah. Don't look, Ethel.
It was too late.
She'd already gotten a free shot. Anybody get the Ray Stevens?
I did.
There?
I was thinking about it a minute ago.
You do? Okay. Are you familiar with the work of Ray Stevens?
I am.
Great comic satirist of our time.
And they called him the Streak.
Not our time. It's like our dad's times, but still good. He also
that would be bad for like security. I mean, you know, I mean those guys are sometimes hard enough to catch, but you know, if the streaker is a SEC level cross country runner, could you imagine trying to chase him down in the open field? Be chasing that naked ass.
Oh, he got away too. I don't. Well, they arrested him late because he ran out towards the center. This is what I was laughing about yesterday, and you were like looking at me, and I didn't have time to explain.
Right.
He does all this. He runs out towards center field, and there's a big wall. And
he jumps
it? You're like, is he going to jump this wall? Because it's pretty big. It's at least 10 feet. And he jumps up there at first, and he's like, and he slides back down, and the crowd starts laughing.
Was his butt still hanging out?
I think he had pulled his pants back up by now. But then he scaled it, man. He jumped up again and like was able to get his right leg over the side and pull himself up.
And then just disappeared?
And off into the night.
How'd they catch him? Somebody recognized him.
They recognized from his backside?
I have no idea. Is it not saying the story?
Well, I'm leaving out two key details here. One, he had Trump 2024 written across his chest. Which I'm sure, you think there was some Biden voter in the crowd who's like, you know what? That guy makes a good point. I think I'll vote for Trump next time.
Nah.
And he also had a sign that said, Longhorns suck.
It's beautiful.
So he had a couple of statements to make as well, in addition to just
Donald Trump
showing everybody his rear end.
It's who he's voting for. Yeah. Texas sucks.
Longhorns suck.
Longhorns suck.
Elsewhere, Russia's security service arrested an American reporter for the Wall Street Journal on espionage charges today.
Why are Americans going over there?
He's a Big J journalist.
Well,
doing his thing, doing his work. He's denied the allegations. His newspaper is demanding his release. 31-year-old Evan Gershkovich, detained in Yekaterinburg, Russia's fourth largest city, about 1,000 miles east of Moscow. Moscow. Moscow sounds better, right?
It's Moscow.
Russia's Federal Security Service accused him of trying to obtain classified information. So I guess he's going to. You think we'll trade? We have any arms dealers we could trade to get Evan Gershkovich out?
I don't know who all we still got of theirs that they'd want.
Any bargaining chips?
Maybe we just need to stop going there for the time being. I don't care if you are a Big J journalist. I've never wanted to. That's just one of the things you want to eliminate any possibility of ever happening to you in your life, which is spending time in a Russian prison.
Well, this dude's 31. I'm barely old enough, but I'm sure you remember, like, the Russia in the 70s and 80s, and folks older than us will certainly remember.
Oh, it was stuff.
The evil empire.
Yeah.
Man. They were.
They were nightmare fuel if you were a kid.
And their leader was always a dude straight out of
Central Casting.
Bond comic book. Like Gorbachev had this huge like birthmark. He's just evil.
Oh, you have no idea. Gorbachev looked good compared to some of the guys that I grew up with. You know,
Khrushchev,
Brezhnev, all those guys. They had those gigantic, and I mean like feather duster over each eyeball, eyebrows, like hairs growing out in every direction.
That's
kinda
tough,
crazy.
Man. I got to trim the brows regularly. It's rough, man.
A lot of guys do. Yeah. Those guys were just
nose too.
Just barbarians.
Nose too. You got nose. You got to do the nose. You have a nose hair trimmer.
Man, you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You don't look as good as this.
Do you have these issues, Marcus? Yeah, you're still 26.
He doesn't care.
No, I don't.
You don't have nose hair yet?
No, I do have nose hair.
Oh, you do?
Those.
But you don't have to trim it regularly.
No, not regularly, no.
Yeah, you will. It's a bummer, man. You're brushing your teeth, and you're like, oh, my God, if I've been walking around with that hanging out of my schnoz for all week.
You don't look at yourself every morning before you go out and see people?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. But, I mean, I don't study the nose every day. It's like,
you got to get a good up-close look, make sure there's nothing like gross like that hanging out? Redwood forest hanging out of your left nostril?
I guess I'm lucky. I just look in the mirror and say, let's go, handsome.
Let's go, handsome.
I love the confidence. Meanwhile, a Wisconsin man was identified from DNA pulled from a partially eaten burrito and arrested in the firebombing of an anti-abortion lobbying group's office last year. This is going to be fun. 29-year-old Prindindu Sankar Roy Chowdhury of Madison, Wisconsin, was arrested at Logan International Airport in Boston. He's charged with one felony count of attempting to cause damage by means of fire or an explosive.
Who's this guy mad at?
He was trying to bomb the anti-abortion people. Usually it's like the I don't know.
Crazy thought. How about we just...
They're bombing each other.
How about we just have a conversation?
We all get along. Can't we all get along?
Or just talk. You don't have to always throw bombs at each other.
I know.
Literally.
Man. It's scary out there.
It's hard out here for sure.
That is the docket. Brought to you by Fox... But how about that? A burrito. They found a burrito with the guy's DNA. That's how they were able to get him.
Yeah. Well, there's another. I thought you were going to go to that one next. They caught some kid. He murdered this guy. He wanted to buy this guy's guns, and the guy wouldn't sell them to him. Like a 15-year-old kid. And the genius dropped a receipt from Taco Bell. Or Domino's. Domino's receipt.
This was – they found a burrito at the scene, like – I guess he had thrown away half a burrito or something.
Tested it for DNA.
Near it, yeah. Pretty good police work, man.
Yeah. It's what you call securing a scene, getting every scrap and testing everything.
That's garbage. You get away from that garbage.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, you read the story about the horrible when the kids that were brutally killed downtown. Like, the police will tell you, like, there was one piece of scrap of paper with one of the suspect's thumbprint on it, like in the vehicle.
Wait, what's this?
The Shannon Christian.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's why you got to, they pick up every scrap of paper. Or who knows what would have, you know, somebody get away with something. So, well, hats off to the police.
FoxandFarmer.com, the Car Wreck Pro attorneys, appreciate their longstanding support of the show. Call today to set up a free, no-obligation consultation, 865-531-9400 for Fox and Farmer. Let's get D.R. Vall in here next. What's up, D.R. Vall?
All right, so that kind of hit close to home. I recently had to make an old person purchase and get a nose hair trimmer.
Oh, man, you got to take care of that schnoz. I mean, the thing I'm struggling with is I feel like a tickling in my ear a lot, and I'm worried that because I'll have like the occasional stray hair growing out of my earlobe, and I don't realize until it's long. And usually my wife will say, "You have a big hair growing out of your ear," and that's hard. Like the nose, you could just look in the mirror and see, but the ear, like you can't look inside your ear. Like if you tried to look inside your ear, it's practically impossible to look inside your own ear. I know you can set up the mirrors in such a way.
No,
that,
that's why you got to preemptively make sure they're clean.
I'm not talking about clean. I'm talking about like hair inside.
No, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
You got to, you know, get
on
your
ear. Are you talking about a Q-tip?
Yeah. No.
What are you talking about?
You get it. It'll be in a little, like those grooming kits that have all those little gizmos.
Oh, the buzzer for inside?
No. Yeah, it's like a little thing.
What are you talking about, bro?
You're talking about hairs growing out of your ears,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
The clip that you put on the nose hair thing that you can so you can stick it in your ear.
Yeah, just around the edges
but
of it.
But you can't see in it. So you don't really know if you're getting it.
That's why you got to really go out, get after it in there.
I'm so confused.
You ever tried to look
Russ
in your
knows
ear?
What I'm talking about now.
I know what you're talking about, but we're talking about two different things. I'm talking about, like, you got to be able to see to get it, especially if you want to tweeze, because I get, like, not to get too detailed about it.
You're sticking tweezers down your ear
canal?
Well,
I've not got, like, a bush coming out. It's like the stray hairs.
You're putting tweezers near your ear canal.
Oh, yeah.
You're psycho.
I want to pull it out by the root, man. I don't want to trim it so it just grows back within a couple of days. I want to yank that thing out. You ever try and tweeze out a nose hair?
Yes.
Oh, it's the most painful.
I mean, why don't you just go ahead and hit yourself in the face with a hammer? The pain is exquisite on that. You can't do that. Don't lie. Let's not lie to each other.
Nobody's man enough
to do that.
I've done it before. I have. But, like, it just tears automatic. Like, it makes me cry automatically. Like,
well,
one
yeah.
nose, it's just like, oh. It's not like cry of pain. It's like an allergic reaction or something. I just start crying.
Makes me sneeze usually afterwards.
And you sneeze. So you got tears coming out, snot coming out. But you got that hair.
It's true.
Did DR Ball call back?
No.
Did you blow him up?
No, I don't know what happened.
You blew him up.
No, I did not.
Did.
I picked up the phone.
You touched the wrong thing.
I did not touch
the wrong
thing.
Ball, I love you.
Call back.
Or not.
We do have a call.
Imagine that. We are a talk radio station. I mean, you act so surprised.
Well, no. I'm just trying to get it over to you.
865-546-8200. All right, who's next?
Philly.
Oh, God.
Straight W.
Hey, Phil.
I hate DR didn't get on there. I like to hear his calls. He's been getting on Rhett Barnes pretty good lately. I enjoy it.
Bear blew him up.
Bear didn't do that.
I mean, I looked up, and he's pressing something. The next thing I know, I hear the click.
Well, as long as it's not the red button, everything's all right, isn't it?
Don't give him any ideas, Phil.
Well, I'm glad you got that LSU garbage off the air. I mean, he tried to make fun of us, and they hadn't done anything down there since Bill Burrow.
They, yeah, I mean, they've won, what, three natties, I guess, this century. It is. I'm not going to say anything there, but we've kind of owned him here of late, Phil. He didn't want to talk about head-to-head very much.
Well, I'm just looking to the future. They got Brian Kelly, who's never won anything, and chokes every big game he's in. So, I don't – you know, what are they getting down there?
That's good stuff. I wish I had thought of that, Phil. Wish I thought to say that to him.
Well, I should have texted the bird and he could relate it to you, but, you know, I just had to hear all that. How great LSU is. They're great in women's basketball now. That's great. I'm really happy about it. I mean,
I thought I represented well, right?
You did just fine.
I feel like it was a good, friendly trash talk, give and take. Didn't get too out of hand. Could have gotten out. Sometimes that gets out of hand. And people are saying we should have flushed him. Like, I kind of like it. I like mixing it up.
Well, I know one person, one of my buddies, thought you should have flushed him.
Should have flushed him?
Store. Mm. Yeah. But you didn't. I guess you got to be nice to guess, I guess.
I mean, it's like, you know, sometimes we flush you, Phil. It doesn't mean anything. It's just sometimes you get a little out of line. You're a little out of line yourself. And
Yeah, you are. You can get a little out of line, Phil.
Yeah, got to. I mean, until we get me a championship, one of these good sports.
I do want to hang a banner. I want to hang a natty. It's been too long, man. We need a natty. These conference championships are nice, and we did win. Let's not overlook the fact that, yeah, we don't go to Omaha last year, but we did win the league, regular season, and tournament championship, and those are cool, man. I'm not downplaying that. I love winning championships. Conference championships matter a lot to me. But we need to win a natty and something, Phil.
Well, you know, LSU and Tennessee are very similar. They're kind of always the second best to Kentucky in basketball, and they're always kind of second best to Alabama in football. Now, Georgia's a new animal that's come on the block here now. It's probably better than everybody now in the SEC.
Well, they've got – I mean, they've made their deal with the devil. They're based – they got waxed by Georgia Southern yesterday in baseball. They have said, you know what? We don't care. We don't care about basketball. We don't care about baseball. Everybody else care about that. We're going to have a dominant football team. And they're dominant, man. Like, oh, wait.
They've supplanted Alabama as supreme overlords of college football.
2 years in a row, they just murdered everybody.
Emperor Paul, yeah, like Darth Vader and –
Would you make that trade right now, Phil? Be supreme football overlords of the nation, no basketball, no baseball program.
If we were dominant like Nick Saban, I would take it. But Tennessee's never historically been like that. I guess it's Neyland and I wasn't alive in. So Tennessee's always been a second fiddle to somebody in SEC in my lifetime.
We were kind of like that in women's basketball for a couple of years back in the day.
Well, Pat Summitt pretty much ruled the roost till Geno came around.
But she, right? Yeah, for about 20 years, late 80s to about 2007 or so, it was her sport. Just
and
like
it,
20 years, it was
Don
Saban's sport.
Don Staley's sport now, right? Or that fashion mall down there in Baton Rouge, you know?
You like my line about how she looked like Elton John on the sideline?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I was debating between Elton John and Liberace. I decided
you
to
like
go
her,
with
Phil.
The,
you like Kim Mulkey?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's a winner. If Tennessee was serious about their sport, women's basketball, they would hire her instead of Holly Jolly. Like, I mean, all this. I told the show Jake and the boys last night. Tennessee's got too much money invested in women's basketball to be mediocre in it, and that's what they are right now. And the only way to do it is go out and hire somebody off the Pat Summitt food chain and move on.
Well, how did our gal over at Duke, how did she finish up? I'm going to pull up Kara Lawson's record here because I got my eye on
LSU?
Her. Do what?
Did LSU beat them in the NCAA tournament? I don't really follow it that much, but, I mean –
Let's see, Kira went 26-7.
Barnes choked too much.
I mean, she went 17-13 last year, her first full season. They did not play the year before because of COVID, and so she went from 17-13, 7-11 in the league, to 26-7 and 14-4 in her league. I'd say that's a pretty dramatic turnaround.
Well,
and look, Kelly's not going anywhere this year anyway. But yeah. I'm keeping my eye on Kara Lawson, man. If she gets Duke rolling, I mean, the solution will be pretty obvious at that point unless Kelly Harper takes the next step.
Hmm. So what, Charles, who do you think's going to win the men's national championship?
I mean, if I had to guess, I would say UConn, but I wouldn't be surprised if FAU wins it.
If I mean, any one of them are going to win it.
I mean, any one of them could, any one of the four could win it.
I think it's Miami and Connecticut. That should be the championship game, really. I mean, they're the two best teams. They're going to play in the semifinals. And then you got the two that Tennessee probably could get. Well, they've already given one. I mean, that team barely beat us as bad as we played.
Yeah.
So they can't be too good.
I mean, they're in the Final Four, Phil.
Oh, well.
I mean, they beat Tennessee and they beat Michigan State, right?
Phil, I had a quick question for you because I'm pretty sure one of your last calls you said that Rick Barnes is too old as a young man's game.
Yeah.
You do know Miami's coach is actually older than Rick Barnes, right?
Yeah, and he's been in the two Final Fours now.
Yeah, he just
won 20 years ago, right?
Right. Well, he's been at Miami for 12 years, and this is the first time he's been to the Final Four since his last school in, like, the early 2000s. So
what's your point?
He's the same as Rick Barnes.
It's a very similar arc to Rick Barnes, yet we want Rick Barnes out of here, and you said Miami should be in the final with UConn.
I don't want him out of here. Put me in there. Say we.
Phil.
What?
No, I was saying you're one of the guys that wanted you and Jake and Westchester and all the other guys. The Miserables. You guys want him out of here.
We just want to win. We're tired of being mediocre and make excuses. That's one thing Tennessee is. LSU expects championships down there, even though delusional. But we don't even expect championships. We just make excuses and lose. See?
breath.
Felt like that was a quick pivot after my point.
I mean, that's what he does.
Jim,
if you make a point that he can't refute, he immediately turns to increasing his volume.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would just like to say that it's a final now. The Chicago Cubs have vanquished the Milwaukee Brewers 4-0 at Wrigley today. Your boy won a three-leg parlay today. $100 richer as we sit here. It's been a while, man. We've been on a parlay losing streak.
Congratulations.
I feel good right now, man. Whatever happens tonight in Baton Rouge,
doesn't matter.
Your boy is a winner.
How's your luck been running almost?
Huh? What's that?
I said, how's your luck been running almost?
I've been close.
$25 at 409 odds, $102.13 richer today.
I mean, you in three-leg
parlay. Feels good, man.
I'm proud of you, Russ. But now, Marcus, like in this analogy, like the three-leg parlay is Lucy and you're Charlie Brown trying to kick the football. I mean, have you ever – you never connected.
I've been close. One of those days I'll be able to hit that ball.
I look forward to losing that $100 slowly over the coming weeks. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. 546-8200 if you want to jump in here this afternoon. We take a quick break. The drive continues. Stay with us. Some sort of pitch com controversy going on in the Rangers game. We're watching here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios.
I'm fascinated by this gizmo.
Well, Vanderbilt used it 2 years ago, and they were the first team. The
Vanderboys.
Of course they did. They were the first guys to use it in college baseball. And Tennessee, I don't think many people used it. More people used it last year. Tennessee did not. They started using it this year. And that was one of the interesting things in last week's Friday night game against A&M. And I still don't know the full story behind this. But, you know, Dollander got roughed up again in the first inning. Dickey was catching.
Right.
And they said that the story was Dollander doesn't like the pitch comp. Pitch comp, for those who don't know, is basically it's an electronic signal. The pitcher wears a bracelet. The catcher punches in a signal, and it tells the pitcher what pitch to throw. And, you know, that replaces the old ways of the catcher does hand signals down between his legs, which can be easily stolen by other teams. And so Dickey said that the first inning troubles last week against A&M were his fault because he had forgotten that Dolander doesn't use pitch comm, and so their signals were somehow messed up, which seems like a huge oversight. Like, how can that happen in an SEC baseball game? But they got it straightened out or whatever. So I'll be interested to see, like, do they try and use it again here? Because Burns and Beam have been using it and clearly like it and are okay with it.
I mean, it just I could see
– all these big league teams are using it now.
Yeah. But I can totally understand if somebody doesn't like Dolander. Obviously, it sounds like he hasn't taken to it.
But he's got to be careful because, remember, the play he broke his arm on last year against Alabama, well, you know, remember Frank came out of the dugout and was yelling obscenities at the Alabama dugout, and we find out later it's because they were stealing signals. And
right.
The third base coach was telling the hitters what pitch was coming. And he was looking at Dolander's glove. So – like you got to be careful, and apparently some of that's already been happening to Tennessee this year again. So you got to.
Well, I mean, you got to get that cleaned up if you're. But you can't do that in the majors. You get lit up like a Christmas tree.
I mean, I'm sure it happens. I'm sure Tennessee, we do it too. And
well, sure,
it's just it's part of the game. Yeah, I mean, it gets into a larger conversation about PitchCom and TrackMan and all this stuff. Is like, when are we going to go to robotic umps? Because these college umpires in the strike zones are just so inconsistent. That's going to be a major theme tonight. It's like, who's the ump and what's he calling a strike? What's a strike and what's a ball? And is it consistent when both pitchers are on the mound? It's something that you don't notice as much in the big leagues because those guys are good, man. Like those guys, those umps are really good, but they're not as good in the college game. It's a hard thing to do, calling balls and strikes, leaning back there with a mask on, balls coming at you 90 miles an hour. You can't see where the catcher really catches it.
Right.
And you just kind of – you kind of got to watch. And
yeah.
Like, it's a hard thing to do.
Richard G. almost got me earlier.
What did he get you on?
Tweet? Almost. I had quote tweeted it and everything.
Oh, you had it all almost queued up and ready to go, huh?
Yeah, it was his tweet about Jeffrey Macias being the home plate umpire for tonight's game.
Did you see the news with that umpire, Reggie Drummer?
I saw that he had the guy from the SWAT game a couple of weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah, it was Mississippi Valley State and University of New Orleans. It was
That guy that didn't call.
He called the final two pitches as strikes.
And they were like
out of the
not even
zone.
Close. He was obviously
just a bit outside.
Yeah. Well, and the batter was kind of showing him up, but it was still way out of bounds and they suspended him. And
did you see what he said about it?
No.
So he said that he was receiving some very racial slurs thrown at him from Mississippi Valley State fans, which is a historically black college as well. And he said that that's what kind of made him have that poor judgment to just call the game.
Wait, but the ump's black, right?
Yes. He even said that. He said, I'm more hurt that I was getting it from my own people, is what he said.
I'm so confused. So,
what is going on here?
Is a black ump doing a game between two HBCUs?
And he was obviously roasted by one of the team's fan bases.
Correct.
Who were presumably also of African-American
persuasion. He said it was from his.
The quote, I'm not upset, he said. I'm more hurt because I'm getting all this from my people when I know I'm calling a good game.
It's like, I know we're just a bunch of white guys talking here. Like, dude, you're an ump. Just sack up. And like, you lost your cool, man. All umps, umpire is the most thankless job.
Sure.
There is.
You can't let what these people 100 in the stands are saying affect the thing that you are being entrusted with, which is being the guardian of the game and that the rules are followed.
Now, if it was a black ump,
baseball.
Now listen, if it's a black umpire and he's at and an SEC game,
yeah,
and
it's a cracker,
real racial abuse, then that's another story. But that doesn't. I don't think.
I mean,
that's
I can see why. I see what he's saying, but dude, you can't react the way. I mean, you've got to acknowledge that how you handled it was wildly inappropriate. You can't take it out on the kid who's in the game that's not saying all that stuff to you, man.
Umpires would tell you that, like, you have to – you get past to a certain level. Even Little League umpires who – like, those guys take more abuse probably than these guys that we're talking about.
Yeah.
You talk about what they get paid and versus what they have to put up with. And the good ones will tell you, you can't let any of that affect you. You know it's going to happen, part of the thing going in. And you just have to respect the game and call the game the best you can. And that guy clearly did not do that.
I mean, some people can't. I always get reminded. It's one of the best my all-time favorite commercials. It's that Kevin Garnett commercial where he's on the bus and they're going into, I think, Detroit. And there's people just screaming, throwing eggs. And he's just staring straight ahead.
It's different if you're a competitor and you're going in. Like, we're going to get the treatment tonight. Our guys,
whoever's
in right field, God bless him. I hope he has thick skin because he is.
It's Christian Scott, that's who I'm hoping for.
I hope
mature.
He is secure in the sanctity of his mother, shall we say, because that is going to be called into question tonight. Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.